your day, listeners. This is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you are tuning in to Township's Daily News Bits. Chatting with me today, it's Tanya Szymanski, Coordinator for Community Development for the MRC of Bromiswiswa, who's going to speak to us about the various initiatives that are being coordinated in the region in support of those that are unhoused or do not have permanent housing. Thank you so much, Tanya, for taking the time to speak to us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
From my understanding, a regional committee has been established to work alongside municipalities, community organizations, and healthcare workers to address the issue of how we can go about providing support to those who are unhoused or those that do not have permanent housing. How did this collaboration come about, and why did the MRC think it was important?
As you know, there's a housing crisis in Bromiswiswa, which is not just limited to Bromiswiswa, but throughout Quebec. About 2 years ago, because of the housing shortage, we had set up a small committee, mainly around the 1st of July, to help people that were looking for housing, were going to lose their housing, and needed help finding an apartment or what's or whatever. So we'd set up a committee for, you know, with the Office d'Habitation de Bromiswiswa to help people find housing. And we had also we also had a fund for temporary housing. So if someone was in between two apartments, had nowhere to go, well, we would help them out by providing a motel room or whatsoever. During the year, we had realized that, you know, it's not just a problem that occurs around the 1st of July, and that so, like, you know, needing housing. We had people that were, you know, found themselves on the street with no housing and that still needed help for the rest of the year. So we continued providing aid and support to find solutions. And we had realized that we have more and more homelessness in the area. So there is people that are looking for temporary housing or who are temporarily without a home. But then there's also people that, you know, are really homeless. Some people been homeless for a while. Others, it's been a short period. Most homelessness is accidental, but some people choose to be homeless also. They don't want to have access to services or whatnot. You know, in Bromiswiswa, homelessness is a little bit more apparent than it was before. We've always had homelessness in the area, but it was hidden. So, I mean, it would be couch surfers as an example of people that are homeless. They go from friend to friend, stay on the couch. Sometimes they've got, you know, issues with their friend, try to find somewhere else, might end up on the street for a night or two. So we kind of want to address these issues. So the committee, as our first project that really touches homelessness, we decided to develop two warming centers.
Yeah, that was actually what I was about to ask you about. I know that there is two pilot projects set up in Cownsville and Farnham.
Yeah, there's two pilot projects in Farnham and in Cownsville. We call them warming centers. It's a place to get warm, to rest. If someone needs, you know, we're going to have coats, warm socks, mitts, that kind of stuff that people need. Even military grade sleeping bags if people want to stay out in the cold. So there's these warming centers that we're with that are in place now, Farnham and Cownsville. Cownsville, they're open Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 101 Rue Albert, which is right underneath the Unipri Pharmacy. And in Farnham, they're open Monday and Thursday at 151 Rue Principale Est, which is where the Carrefour Jeunesse Emploi is. So we've got a locale in that building. And so they're open from 5 to 9. There's two outreach workers that will be present at each warming center. The outreach worker is there to provide aid also for those that show up. So it's not just to stay warm, but if you need services, if you want to, you know, kind of get back into the system, into the way things go, they're there to help. Since the warming centers are not shelters, they're only open from 5 to 9, and it's very cold, a very cold night, they're going to make the phone calls necessary to find a place in a shelter. We have a budget for transportation to bring people either to Sherbrooke and Montreal if there's nothing available in Granby, so they can stay the night. And we even could provide transportation to bring people back, because sometimes people have been in the community for a long time. Like I said, sometimes it's very temporary, their situation. So we're going to, you know, do whatever we can to help to get people back on their feet.
Yeah, and from my understanding, there are people who are working in the health sector as well who are working with these community groups. How has this relationship supported these initiatives?
Oh, well, these initiatives, honestly, we have a bit of support from all sorts of sources. The MRC, who I work for, put $20,000 towards the project. Centraide put some money, got a reduced rent with Unipri. Our provincial member, MNA, Isabelle Charret, also donated money. Desjardins donated money. We even have the BMP Foundation that donated money. You know, the BMP Foundation, normally it's for stuff that's got to do with health services, hospital, et cetera, equipment. But they saw the importance of being able to help people that are in crisis, in need, at more of a social aspect. So they also donated. And obviously, the CIUS de l'Estricheuse is also involved in the project. We've got community organizers that are on the different committees, and quite a few community organizations too, because the outreach workers are provided by community organizations. So we have in Cowansville, you've got the Maison des Jeunes, there's Cellule Jeune et Famille, and Espace Vivant Living Room that are contributing with their human resources. And in Farnham, it's La Maison des Jeunes. I think another thing that's important is that the two warming centers were established in those two communities because that's where we see the most homelessness. But it doesn't mean that there's homelessness outside of that area. Rome Lake could have homelessness. Sutton can. It could maybe be one or two people. But there's also aid that's provided for people that are outside of those two municipalities. So we've got a bit of a budget either to bring people to the warming center or to find solutions, temporary solutions, to make sure that they're out of the cold on those, you know, nights that are, you know, minus 20. And sometimes even when it's not minus 20, sometimes people just need a break, right? Yeah. It's not easy living, you know, outside on the street, not having a home. We were there also to provide a mental health break, to be able to, for people to get a little bit, you know, more in shape mentally and physically. In terms of donations, one that I forgot to mention, which I just went and picked up, was KDC1. We approached them and asked if they could donate some products so that people can have showers. You know, it's important to keep your dignity when you're homeless. You're still a human being. You still want to be treated like a human being. Yeah. So part of that is also being able to take a warm, hot shower. So they gave us a couple of boxes of products so that people have kits to, you know, to further personal hygiene.
Yeah. So this is really a big regional effort.
It is a big regional effort. Our funding is temporary for the moment, but we were able to get the funding together quite quickly, and we didn't have any organization or that we approached that didn't give us some help in some way, shape, or form.
You touched on it briefly before that you sometimes, if you are made aware that someone who needs a place to stay, you find temporary solutions. Yeah. So how is the committee going about finding other shelters?
Yeah, well, first we always try to look at actual shelters where people can go. So our community organizations that work with homelessness or the most vulnerable are aware of these shelters. So they'll make phone calls early in the evening to see if there's any place available. Sometimes there's no place available, unfortunately. So we have to go a little bit further than Granby. Granby, the shelters that are there are also available for Brome-Missisquoi residents and people that are in Brome-Missisquoi. Sometimes you got to go a little further, like Sherbrooke or Montreal. And if we can't find anything and it's a really cold night and the person doesn't, you know, want to stay in a tent or a high grade sleeping bag, well, then we'll look at different motels in the area. So we've had that in the past where people have stayed at motels, and honestly, it's gone well so far. So yeah, so we'll look at that type of temporary solution. We can't guarantee that we can help absolutely everybody. We've got a certain limited fund, but we try to help as much as possible. But sometimes situations could be, you know, say if someone's got, you know, heavy drug abuse, it's a little bit more delicate to put them in a hotel room if they're a heroin addict or something like that. It's a fine line because you don't want to destroy, you know, your your relationship that you have with the motel owner for further people to stay there. So, mm-hmm. but those are all questions that we ask before we, you know, we agree. And, it's not a vacation stay. It's really, you know, to be able to get people out of the cold and sometimes for to help people have just a mental health break and just to have a warm bed or a shower. And
how can property owners go about doing their part? You know, you're mentioning a housing crisis. How are you going about raising awareness?
Well, I think, we're starting and we haven't, gone too far in the whole process. But I think it's important for housing owners to know that we are in a housing crisis right now. What's available for rent, does not necessarily fit the budget of those that work in the MRC. If you work for $25 an hour or even less, depending on what your situation is, if you're a single mother or whatnot or single father, paying for an apartment that's $1,500 to $1,700 is a little bit difficult. We do in the MRC, we have a housing committee through the Réseau de Développement Social, and we're looking at different solutions. But for sure, to be able to give affordable housing, we have to think in terms of not individual housing, but that it's going to be collective multi-logement type of housing, right? So people have to be a little bit more open to seeing maybe more apartment-like buildings in the area. It doesn't mean that the value of your property is going to go down, but we can't just think anymore that we live in an area where it's single family homes with large properties. We have to be able to answer different needs. And, you know, for affordable housing, well, that means multiple lodgings together, apartment buildings.
That's a big topic of discussion right now. I know that there are a lot of groups and individuals within the region who are trying to get more affordable housing projects off the ground, recognizing this yep. issue. I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention, Tanya. I don't know if you're still going about collecting donations. If anyone hears this interview and they're interested in supporting the initiatives and projects that you're getting off the ground.
Sure. If people want to give donations, we're always open to that. It could be monetary donations. It can be slightly used warm clothing donations. Absolutely, we're open to that. I think probably the easiest would be monetary donations, because when you collect stuff, then you have to go through it to see, you know, the quality of it and then keep it in storage, and that becomes a little bit more difficult. But I mean, a lot of what we're doing is based on human resources, right? It's people that are there to help. So we need, yes, some equipment, but we also, you know, monetary donations to be able to have the human resources available to be able to offer these warming centers is also greatly appreciated. And like I said, all the funding that we have right now is temporary. So for next year, we're going to have to look for more funding.
Another fundraising campaign
and all that. I wouldn't say give a monetary donation to the MRC, but, you know, you can definitely contact me and I can say which community organization you can send a monetary donation to be able to help with these different projects that we're doing for housing. And the other thing that I think is important is that people be sensitized to the fact that we do have homelessness. I mean, if you see someone that's kind of lounging around or whatever and is not bothering anybody, well, you know, sometimes just let them be. You know, they're humans. If you see someone that's in like the, you know, I don't know, between two doors or whatever, we're trying to stay warm or just standing there, let them stay warm, you know,
yes.
just let them be, you know. It's, I think it's important to remember that we're all human and that we're all, you know, we all go through different ups and downs in our lives. And, you know, people that are homeless or experiencing temporary homelessness, it's important to preserve their dignity.
Yeah, we're all just trying to survive.
Yep, pretty much.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya, for speaking to us about this important initiative. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. I'm glad I was able to come here and share what we're doing.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.